is Election Day, and various reports on the pre-voting and all. And so, let me ask you a question. Don't answer verbally. Just remember, God's in control. However you want things to go, let's say they don't go that way. Let's say, you see, people, one of the problems, you have to understand, one of the great problems in America today is that a majority of Americans do not value the freedom of this country. And therefore, an invasion of thousands from the South and all the things that happen, they don't care. They don't care about Ellis Island. They don't care how organized people used to come in from all over the world and spend countless nights in Ellis Island going through different things, some being sent home, some being taken here. If you've never been to Ellis Island and you're in New York, please go to it. I've been to Ellis Island, and it is worth your time. And Ellis Island, if you don't know, that's where all the immigrants had to first go, get off a ship, they got off at Ellis Island. And then the processing took place there. And they have different quotes from various immigrants. And one said something to the effect, you get the idea. I heard America was a land of the free, and the streets were paved and all that. I just didn't know I was going to have to pave them. if you don't love something, you don't care about it. You don't care how it's polluted. You don't care how it's destroyed. You just don't care anymore. You don't care how many people you see living on the streets. That's not a compliment to a society. But you don't care anymore. Just let them all in. Let America go. And people, let me tell you something. The same thing happens with a church. Your view of a church. If you don't value it, you don't care what happens to it. If you value something, you care about it. Now, having that kind of care for the freedoms we enjoy in America, I'm going to ask you to stand and sing if you mean it. If you don't mean it, just stand but don't sing. It is well with my soul. Regardless of what happens Tuesday, will it be well with your soul? Regardless. If the Democrats gain control of both the House, Senate, and everything, is it still well with your soul? If it is, then let's stand and sing, "It Is Well With My Soul," hymn number 339. Hymn number 339, "It Is Well With My Soul," dedicated to...
When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole. Nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul.
My soul,
it is well with my soul.
And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight.
The clouds be rolled back as a scroll.
A trump
shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
It is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well with my soul.
Okay, it's time for taking into note some of the prayer requests, and I want to just kind of hit a few of them that I know about. Okay, what's the status of Thomas?
He'll go in. He did a scan yesterday, but he woke up congested, and so they said it would be okay to scan, and I'm supposed to see how he's doing this afternoon. I'll call the doctor. They may end up calling it off if he's still pretty congested, because he said it could... It's not a big deal, but it could put him in the hospital. It could cause problems for him.
Why would it put him in the hospital?
Just because they're going in and looking in the lung.
Okay.
He's having some inflammation.
Very good.
So, just I hope when he's awake, he's doing better. He was doing better last night. He's still coughing a little bit. He needs to have this done and get it over with so we can just figure out what's going on.
Encourage us on how to pray.
That they're able to go in and do the bronchoscopy, and when they get in the lungs, there's nothing to biopsy. Maybe that bleeding, that one-time occurrence, was caused from a broken blood vessel or something, because that's what he said. So, yeah, so we have the scan, we've taken it to the doctor, we'll know more. I'm just praying that he does get to go through with this and get it over with, though.
Okay.
Really, that's my prayer. And if he does, we'll be doing that at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
All right, people.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, Jim Langston, how are you doing, sir?
Pretty good.
We care a lot about you, so doing all right? Okay. And we're very happy to have Brian back with us from his being gone so long, working all over in the disaster areas. Anything interesting or exciting happen?
Not really. A lot of damage.
Just boring death threats every day and all that. Okay.
No. I mean, everybody was appreciative there and nice and kind, and they had plenty of help and stuff. So
good.
They just got to take time to get all built back up.
Well, we were in prayer for you and thank for your home safely.
Well,
I'm sure your wife and family are thankful for your home safely. Okay. Now, any other prayer requests? Yes.
Well, I have a prayer request for one of my best friends, Lisa. Her best friend, lives in Atchison, Kansas, and had to be care flighted to Kansas City. She had a blood vessel burst, and she's lost her vision. It's affecting her organs, and there may not be any. There's probably not going to be any reversible. She's only 42 years old. Her name is Karen Dublin.
Karen, all right.
And she's got a son and some grandchildren.
Okay.
So be in prayer for the family.
Be in prayer. Absolutely.
God has in store for them. Yeah. And then I have an update on the triplets. The two babies that were left in the hospital are now, it's called crib training, so if they can keep their body temps up on their own for 48 hours, they'll be going home by the end of next week.
And this coming week sometime?
Yeah, probably by the end of next week.
End of next week, okay.
So, yeah.
We need to be in prayer for them. Do you know the names of the three?
Them, Brantley, and Barrett.
Okay.
Oh.
And the brother, they have a brother, Brighton and Brendan already. The dad's name is Brandon, so he runs in the family.
I'm glad I asked. Very good.
Brandon, I know.
Yeah. Okay. Have you heard anything about Candace?
Yes.
Yesterday, Cassie came over and he said they're helping. She was with us and Candace is
bathing herself. She's getting herself dressed. She's making her bed. She's getting fed. She's feeding herself, and she's driving. So definite improvement. She's on heavy, higher doses of steroids, so we're thankful for a pulmonologist that saw her, that put some things together that they feel like is helping her now. The prayer right now would be that as she comes off, when they make the decision to take her off the steroids, that her body then will kick in and continue to see improvement for her.
We need to continue being in prayer.
Please.
Definitely.
But
yeah.
Definite improvement.
Yep.
So thank
okay.
you for those.
But we need to be definitely continue to be in prayer. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other? Yes.
Kansas City. My dad had a really bad fall.
Mm-hmm. While you were gone. See what happens? It's all your fault.
I leave and that happens. Everything ends up okay. They tested some brain stuff, no concussion or anything, but he has a huge knot, both eyes are black. Our fear is that he may need even more supervision, more like 24 hours, someone in the room with him. We have some more decisions to make. His dad, he's falling every night now, and one of these days he's really going to hurt himself. So pray that we figure out what to do. Do the right thing.
Absolutely. People, please be in prayer. If you've been there, I've been there, it's a tough decision. Where you want to put your aging parents and all these kind of things. And so usually when they fall, they break a hip, but he hadn't done that yet. Wow.
The dementia, he gets up in the middle of the night, he gets disoriented.
So bad.
Yeah.
He's had vertigo for the last 10 years anyway. So that's what's happening.
He really
they call it night disease or something, where they get disoriented in dark. Yeah. Okay. We'll be in prayer for Dad. Absolutely. And for y'all making decisions. How's your mother doing?
She's hanging in there.
Huh?
She's hanging in there.
Okay. Be in prayer for her, too. Stuff for her. All right. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Safe travels for Davis. He's flying up to Alabama this week. It's probably like flying right now.
Oh, wow. All right. How long is she going to be gone?
A week.
Okay. We'll be in prayer. Debbie, absolutely. Okay. Yes, Gigi.
Continue prayer for my daughter. My nephew, Brian, is going in February for another checkup on the follow-up on the cancer, especially for my friend Dennis's wife, daughter, and granddaughter. They're taking it extremely hard. He died 2 weeks ago. Dennis Marchetti.
Oh.
Chan's dad.
Okay. Be a prayer for your daughter and Captain Clark. Okay. Any other? Yes, Julie.
Just a quick report on the internet ministry. We got 85 countries visiting us last month alone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's coming back. Now, we're not over 100 countries like we used to have yet, so it's going to take some time. Now, please continue to pray, because we still have a lot of lessons, you know, that still have the lean problem. Now, we're just going to have to work through it. And another prayer request is for the Bible study that I have at work. Yeah, it went pretty well. We got three people, so slowly but steady. Please continue to pray for us.
All right. We'll be in prayer. Jeff? Okay. Yes.
I just want to ask for prayers for my friend Teresa that I work with. Her son took his own life on Wednesday night. He's 34, has a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old son and daughter. The family is devastated. Obviously, they are believers. She just posted something asking for prayers and praying that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So that's encouraging that in their faith it's going to be a long, long process for their family. And she asked for prayers for courage and strength. So total surprise to the family. Just had bought a new house. They had knee surgery. They're wondering about some of the drugs maybe he was on. But I just want to cover them in prayer. So her name is Teresa. The family name is Johns. His wife is Tiffany and their sons and their children.
Thank you. We'll be in prayer. And you have a prayer request. In light of what Julie was saying, those of you that are listening throughout the world, continue being in prayer for our internet outreach, so we can get these lessons back on totally, and you'll be able to continue to listen. In that regard, we got a letter from a note from one of our faithful ones in Wichita Falls, Texas, Cindy Edwards. I can't thank you all enough for Lyon Herman's teaching. I want to thank the congregation for being able, for being there so he could teach. Also, the people involved in helping with this ministry, the internet and the tape ministry. Thank you so very much, Best Cindy Edwards. So I think that's very nice of Cindy to give that. Okay. Anything else? Any other prayer requests? All right. Next Sunday is Veterans Day. So we're going to do this in a couple of ways. First of all, what would you want to say?
Celebration at Celebration Park in Allen at 3 p.m. And Phil will be doing our service. Terry actually left the form open today. If you still have some veterans you want to put on, right, Terry?
Correct. Yeah, just if you're staying for fellowship lunch, I'll be happy to type them in for you. We can add, you know, if you want to honor a veteran, we can add them then.
We'd love to do
that. What time do we get there?
Get there by 3.
By 3?
Larry and Brian will have burgers, hot dogs, food items for donation. We'll do our service. We'll pray for all our branches. We'll release the balloons, and then we'll do our flag football. Looks like it's going to be beautiful weather, so we'll keep praying for that and just invite people to come out. We've already had some people saying, I know Chris at work said he might have some people coming out to join us, so feel free to invite neighbors and people to come out and pray.
Just invite anyone that you know that still respects our military. Tell them that they can be a part of that celebration next Sunday afternoon. And it's in Allen Park. Okay. Now, let me just have a few minutes here. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Taking Chance. Has anyone seen it? Okay. You need to see Taking Chance. It's about a Marine who escorts the body of a Marine who died in battle, and he escorts him all the way home. It is a superb movie. And after saw that movie, we learned that Harold Simonson used to do that, right, hon? Yeah, he used to do that. And shortly before he went home to the Lord, some girl called, "Are you the one that escorted my dad home?" And it's really impressive. And I put him on our list to be celebrated, and along with Bill Hess. This church has some good touches with the military, and so I just encourage you to consider next Sunday spending your time and for our celebration of the veterans. Before we move into our study, I want to read this to you. It came from another one of our faithful listeners, Phyllis Music in Florida. Politicians from both the Conservative and Labour parties in England addressed the Manchester crowd. Anti-Semitic attacks in the UK have reached an all-time high over just the last year, with nearly 4 incidents registered every day against Jews. We won't be told how anti-Semitism should be defined. In other words, they're lessening the definition of what is anti-Semitism. Nevertheless, when asked about what would happen if Corbyn, C-O-R-B-Y-N, would become prime minister next election, it is believed many Jews will leave the country. Corbyn needs to apologize for all he's done to the Jewish community, for calling the Hamas his friends, for honoring the Munich terrorist, for allowing anti-Semitism to flourish in England. So just bear that in mind as you think about these things. Okay, does anyone not have the handout, Wisdom Teaching? Anyone not have it? Okay, Gigi, can you bring me a couple up front? Oh, yeah. Pay my salary a little bit. The word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. People, that's why I don't have a building. I'm just not a fundraiser. I'm just not. But it is necessary. It's good that we have the opportunity to be able to support the spreading of the gospel, the teaching of the word of God, internet, missionaries here in our own assembly, young people, whatever the case may be. So it's our privilege. It's not an intrusion. If you feel like it's an intrusion, then don't give. That's not giving with a proper attitude. Give with thanksgiving that you have the opportunity to support teaching and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, so very thankful, for the opportunities of this humble assembly, the spreading of the gospel, to both unbelievers and believers, putting out the word of God, the internet, right here in our own assembly, the young people. We're so thankful, Father, that we have two families in this assembly dedicating their homes and their lives, having young people over once a week, missionary outreach, and right here in our own assembly. And therefore, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You will continue to use this assembly for the spreading of the gospel of our Savior friend, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Again, prepare yourself for the study of the Word of God. Very important time of prayer. Test yourself to see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. I'm not the teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Let's prepare ourselves by prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of studying the Word of God. What a blessing. What an unbelievable blessing. And we can have it every day, open and studying your Word. We pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see this morning from this great chapter of Colossians. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Now, Kit does a wonderful job in even putting in verses we're going to look at in the outline. But, by way of introduction, you need your Bibles. If you will turn in your Bibles to Acts 13, those of you that were not able to make it Wednesday night, I'm going to share with you something that bounces off of our study in Colossians last week, where we studied last week about growing, letting the Word of Christ dwell richly in your soul, and what that means, and we looked up different ideas of the Word of Christ. Now, Wednesday night, we studied the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, the 13th chapter is significant. It's the record of the first missionary journey by Paul. It's the beginning of the third and last section of the book of Acts. Christ gave us the outline for Acts, Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. Chapter 13 begins with spreading the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. And as we went through it, I was just taken by the number of times that the word appeared in this great chapter. Look at chapter 13. Let's start at verse 5. They proclaimed the word of God, that is the gospel. When they reached Salamis, they went from Antioch along the coast across the island. They reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had John, their helper, right? Jew first, and then Gentile. Look at verse 7, 13:7. who was with the proconsul, now what we're dealing here with, this heretic, this Jewish magician, totally opposed to the Word of God, and he was a friend of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. Paulus, same family name as Paul. A man of intelligence. What does that mean? Well, this man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the Word of God. That's intelligent. Are you intelligent? Obviously you are. It's what you hear. I don't think anyone comes to this church because we have a prestigious building, because we have wonderful young people's programs and things. We're here because we love the Word of God. Now jump to verse 15. After the reading of the law, now what happens was, they went into another place, they go into the synagogue first. That's what he normally does. Okay. After reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials said to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." Well, you know that Paul isn't going to just sit there on that one. You've just given him an open board there. Now, jump down to verse 44. What he's traveled is, he's traveled off of the island of Cyprus over to the mainland, and he's gone up to an area that is filled with people that Alexander the Great said of all the people he met, the fiercest of all were in these mountain areas. And Paul, Barnabas, traveled up through this area to get to this little city. Now, the verse 44. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. Verse 46. Paul, remember earlier? It was Barnabas and Saul. All of a sudden, it's Paul. He is now the leader of this journey, of this team. Alright, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you, the Jews, repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we're turning to the Gentiles." You might have often heard how Paul went to the Gentiles. Here's where he made that decision. Right here. They didn't want it. The Gentiles did. Look at verse 48 now. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing, glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Now, look at verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. What I want you to see is they were rejoicing at the hearing of the word of the Lord, hearing the gospel. I'd like to take the rest of this morning and see how many of you remember what happened in your soul when you first heard the gospel where you believed it. I was 7 years old, 70 years ago, and I remember it clearly. What happened to me? Unbelievable peace. The 7-year-old boy. I was so afraid of hell, so afraid I was going to burn forever. I don't know, I must have really been a bad sinner at 7 years old to have been in such fear. But the peace, sitting on my mother's lap, peace was unbelievable. And I've never lost it. And I hope that you rejoice when you hear the word of God. And that's what we're going to do now, is hear the word of God. So now let's look at teaching the wisdom teaching. Now, since you have died with Christ, Colossians 2:20, since you have been raised up with Christ, Colossians 3:1, since these two things are true, let the peace of Christ umpire in your hearts, Colossians 3:15, always being thankful, 3:15, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, 3:16. The believer lets the peace of Christ umpire in his heart when he's filled by the Holy Spirit by faith. The believer gives thanks in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. The believer lets the Word of God dwell in your soul when you're filled with the Holy Spirit by faith and make yourself available to its teaching and study of it. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule or umpire your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be continuously thankful. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom teaching. And that's where we are, with all wisdom teaching. The responsibility of the pastor teacher. Now let's take a look at wisdom throughout the Word of God. With all wisdom. Now, point one. What is wisdom? What is it? A, simply stated, wisdom is the skill in any endeavor. B, skill in all the affairs of life. The Complete Words Dictionary of the New Testament, wise planning and the selection of the best means for achievement using sound judgment and good sense. All the decisions you and I make require wisdom in life. C, skill. Skill in the moral decisions, making the right moral decisions. I forgot, and I meant to do it at the beginning. This weekend, something's happening in Galveston, Texas. 100,000 motorcyclists are converging on Galveston this weekend. Now, don't think light about it, because Jeff just told me about how his brother-in-law, tell him what happens.
Well, in brief, my brother-in-law is a motorcycle rider, as was myself at one point, and he belongs to an offshoot of the Christian Motorcycle Association, and they have a group down there called the Hellfighters. And there's chapters all over the United States of that particular group, but one thing they do is they're like-minded individuals to everyone that rides motorcycles, so that's their attraction to each other. But this particular group goes to various motorcycle rallies around the country, and a lot of them you've heard of, the big one in Sturgis, South Dakota, and so forth. And they set up a big tent, if you will, and have some sort of offering to bring people to their tent. It could be free water. In this particular case, in Galveston, they're giving away free hamburgers and sodas and that sort of thing. But when they get there, they feed them nutritionally, but they also try to feed their soul. And they take that opportunity to pass out tracts on the gospel, to talk to them, pray with them if needed, witness to them, and ultimately trying to bring the unsaved to bring them to believing and have them be saved. And that's really what they're trying to do.
Think about this, people. How many times have you seen motorcycles, long beards, these old men, bandanas on and all that? Tell them what they come in.
He's shared with me many stories over the years, and one of the stories that's happened many times, but you can generalize it this way. It would be an old, haggled-looking gentleman that, you know, full of tattoos and a long gray beard wrapped up in a rubber band. How they do. The guy's had a rough life, probably brought on by himself and where he's decided to live on, you know, which side of the tracks and so forth. Probably never had the gospel shared to him, or if he had, was never receptive at that point. But will come into their tent, three sheets to the wind, basically, long since having a good hot meal. But for some reason, his soul is thirsty, and they will witness to him. And right then and there, on his knees, a gentleman, 60 years old, never believed, will all of a sudden confess faith in Christ and believe.
Isn't that fantastic?
They're few and far between, but those are the types of stories and events that keep them going.
That is so wonderful.
From rally to rally to rally, trying to
win. Just imagine some of the old men and been doing this all their life, never come to Christ. And as you get older, you start thinking about death. Think about, you know, I'm going to be gone here. And to hear the gospel and believe it, I love that. I love that story. So, my point, be in prayer for what's going on in Galveston. Okay, D, skill in spiritual decisions made in life. Skill in spiritual decisions. where to go to church, when to go to church, that kind of thing. Roman numeral 2, where can wisdom be found? A, let's start off understanding that there are two categories of wisdom in the world. These two categories are determined by their source. There is the wisdom of the world, and there is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, compared to the wisdom of the world, is given in James 3:15. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is one, earthly, two, natural, three, demonic. This wisdom of jealousy and selfish ambition is not that which comes down from above, divine wisdom. And the object of our study, now, note the three things about the wisdom that is not from God. It is earthly, related to the earth. And have that in mind. What did we see in Colossians 1, 1 and 2, 3, 1 and 2? Set your mind on what? Things above, not on things of the earth. This wisdom is related to the earth. Natural, from the flesh nature of man, therefore understood by man. You know, do it. If you feel like doing it, do it. This kind of stuff. And then three, demonic, from Satan, to counter the wisdom of God. By the way, do not miss that human wisdom is earthly. Now we can understand, well, here it is, Colossians 3:1. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. That means keep seeking the wisdom of God, the wisdom that is from above. Back to James 3:16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder on and every evil thing. Now, we can understand what's going on in the world today. It first rejects the wisdom of God. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above, in contrast to the wisdom below, is pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. But in contrast to the world, this wisdom is from above. Our study and our desire is, first, pure, peaceable in our souls. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. Let the peace dwell in your soul. Gentle, reasonable. What does that mean? In harmony with all the creation by Jesus Christ. Full of mercy, good fruits in our lives, good production, unwavering all through your life, without hypocrisy, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. As to the two categories of wisdom, the Bible tells us God's view of human wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:19. Well, here it is. You don't have to turn to it. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? So, do not waste your time studying the wisdom of the world. Verse 21, for since the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message, the gospel, preached to save those who believe. Wisdom of man rejects the wisdom of God. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 3, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God, for it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. Being wise, they become fools. 5. The higher human wisdom of the ancient Greek philosophers was intended by Satan to draw away the minds of men from the divine wisdom. It was designed to counter the simplicity of the gospel and the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I've often said, if you don't want Jesus Christ, if you don't want the Word of God, Read Aristotle. He's a genius on wisdom of a man. And his ideal is how to live a great life, avoid problems. See? That's pretty wise. Avoid problems and you'll make it. Now, it was intended to give man a way of living counter to that designed by God. As God uses various people, writers of Holy Scripture, to convey divine wisdom, Satan also used his disciples, Aristotle, Thales of Miletus, Pythagoras, and others, all designed to counter the wisdom from above. Divine wisdom. This wisdom is called the wisdom of the world, fleshly, or related to the flesh, nature, passages given. Now, let's start with one of the most profound questions in the Bible. That question is found in the first book God gave to us. I always like to emphasize, it's the first thing God wanted us to know is found in the book of Job. It's not written to Jews, it's just written to everyone. Here's Job. Then you have the rest of the books of the Old Testament written to Israel, the Jews. Then you have the Gospels to Israel primarily. Acts and the epistles to the church written to Christians. The book of Revelation written to everyone. Not just to Jews, not just to Christians, but to everyone. So, here's the great question. Where can wisdom be found in the book of Job is asked? Job 28:12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? This is the treasure that every sound thinking person should desire. Wisdom. Understanding. One of the proofs of the decadence in America is that most people in America desire wealth, not wisdom. Most people go to college seeking knowledge that will convert into wealth. Few in this country, indeed in the world, seek wisdom. But here, this is wise. Job asks the profound question, where can wisdom be found? And people, there's the success of such men as Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. People came from around the world. And they would sit just like we're doing. And Aristotle would talk. Socrates did it a different way than Aristotle, but they taught wisdom. How to live your life without Christ. How to live your life without God. But it was, people sought it. But few people today seek wisdom. Now, I'll add a little footnote to that, except when it's too late. Why did I marry this person? See? That's seeking wisdom after the fact. See? Okay. Now, this treasure that every sound thinking person should desire. Wisdom. Understanding. Now, let's look at point C. Let's start with the answer with where not to waste your time in this search. No other living creature possesses this wisdom. Job 28:21. Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all living. There is no living creature on earth that has this wisdom. And concealed from the birds of the sky, referring to angels. Now, so, no living creature on earth, above earth, possesses this wisdom. It is not found in mankind, not in Aristotle, not in Buddha, not in Confucius, and not in Muhammad. 28:20. Where then? Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? True wisdom be found in God alone, the sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, the Holy Spirit, is the creator and the only source of this true wisdom. And He alone reveals this wisdom. Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me, wisdom, at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. He possessed this wisdom. from everlasting, I, wisdom, was established from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. Verse 24, when there were no debts, I, wisdom, was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I, wisdom, was brought forth. While he, the Son of God, had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. You don't like dust? Well, it's created by Jesus Christ, so be careful. All right. Verse 27. When he, Jesus Christ, established the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. When he, Jesus Christ, inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. Now, I don't have time, but that goes back to Genesis 1, 1 and 2, original creation and restoration, why there had to be a restoration. Verse 28. When he, Jesus Christ, made firm the skies above, and that deals with the parting of the waters and all, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he, Jesus Christ, set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I, wisdom, was beside him as a master workman, and I, wisdom, was daily in his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men, creation of angels. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. Daniel 2:21, it is he who changes the times and the epochs. So if you set your clock back, he changed out. No, he didn't. I just thought I'd throw that in. All right. He removes kings and establishes kings. Remember that, Tuesday. He gives wisdom to the wise men. Remember that. If America doesn't vote very wise, you know something. It isn't wise. And knowledge to men of understanding. God's economy, the rich get richer. The one who is wise turns to God and asks God, freely gives him more wisdom. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, unfathomable his ways. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Job 28:28. And to man he said, behold, listen, pay close attention. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The Hebrew word fear, yah, is a positive in life, not a negative. It's positive to be in fear of the Lord, not negative. We do not walk around in fear all day long. In fact, one of the most informative passages is Exodus 20:20. Take a look at it. Moses said to the people, listen to this now. But I have two different words. Two words, same book, same verse. Do not be afraid, for God has come in to order to test you, in order that the fear of him, do not be afraid, but he did it that the fear of him may remain in you, so that you may not sin. Do not be afraid, but have fear of him. Now, what's going on here? Sounds like double talk, doesn't it? Do not be afraid. Be in fear. It is as though if we do not correctly understand what is being said here, both occurrences of the word translated fear can mean almost the same thing. Fear not means go around living in fear that God is going to get you. But do be in fear of his righteous indignation if you sin. Be afraid of that. I got to relate this to my mother. Everything was fine, it's fine. But if I ever did anything wrong away from the house, let me tell you something, I didn't really want to go home. Going home wasn't the greatest thing in the world. That's the idea. Everything, you're everything right, Hey, I want to go home. Things not so right. Not sure I want to go home. All right. Now, fear not means do not go around living in fear that God is going to get you, but to be in fear of His righteous indignation if you sin. Unfortunately, not many children are reared with a correct understanding of this verse. Well, here it is. I knew my mother lived, loved me, cared for me, but I also knew to fear her if I disobeyed her. And her dad, my grandfather, whom I loved, had on the back door of our house a hook, right there, back door, going out. And on that hook was a razor strap. And none of us shaved. So it wasn't there for that. It was to shave our backside. See, if we got out of line. And every time I'd go out on Saturday morning, I'd look at that. Is where I'm going worth that? If it wasn't worth it, I didn't go. Yeah, it's worth it. I'd take off. I really did. It's worth it to go to the bio. I have 4 or 5 hours. I can go there and have a lot of fun. I know I'll pay for it when I get back. And I did. I did. I remember one time I came back and I was covered, I won't tell you why, with mud from head to foot. The first thing she did in the backyard, took the hose and watered me down. The next thing she did, took the razor strap to that nice, fresh, clean body. So, that's how that went. Okay, we're not to live in fear of God, afraid of Him. But we are to be afraid of sinning against Him. This is the correct teaching in regard to the police. We're not to be in fear of them. Freak out when you see them. But we should be in fear if we disobey the law. Many parents teach their children to fear the police all the time, which is most unfortunate. Exodus 20:20, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, not beat you, and in order that the fear of Him may remain in you, guard you from sinning, so that you may not sin." That's wisdom. We should fear of His righteous wrath when we sin, but at maximum awe of Him throughout our lives. Now back to Job 28:28. "And to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord," maximum respect, maximum reverence, "that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Now, an in-depth study would take us back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To depart, that is to refrain from evil, is understanding. This, of course, demands that one knows from truth, the Word of God, what evil is. Then refrain from it. Simply stated, anything that goes against God's divine order in creation is evil. Whether it is physical evil, moral evil, or spiritual evil, it goes against God's design that is evil. With the greatest of these being to present a false gospel. Anytime someone tells you you're saved by works, you're saved by doing, you're saved by some ritual, you're saved if you do some work, you know one thing, that's evil. That counters the plan and design of God in sending His Son to the cross. It counters it. There is a multitude of preachers who would never think of committing certain sins, but they dare to stand up at the pulpit and proclaim a lie on how to be saved. People, to do some acts of works, overt acts, like rituals, mental repentance, confessions, to be saved, have the depth of evil. And actually to say that God does not want your faith is evil. To somebody, God doesn't want your faith, He wants your works. He wants your confession. He wants you to do something for salvation. That's evil. But yet they're so pure, they would never sin in some blatant way. Oh, take that wine glass off my table just to see it. It's an abomination to me. See? But they'll stand up at the pulpit and tell you you have to work for God to save you. See? Alright, so here's the beginning of our study on wisdom. We are told what wisdom is, where it is, where it begins. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Let's add to this verse, Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. The Hebrew words for fear and wisdom are the same Hebrew words as we had in Job 28:28. What is the difference is the Hebrew word translated Lord. In both passages, Job 28:28, Psalm 111:10, is the proper name of God, Yahweh. While in Job 28:28, the Hebrew word Adonai is used. This word is used exclusively of God. Now, I'm not going to go through to it, but the Jews felt that saying the name of God was wrong. It was irreverent. So Adonai was put in that place so that you wouldn't say the name of the Lord. This designation refers to the supreme authority of and power of God. Either way, maximum respect and reverence and yes, fear of Him is the beginning of wisdom. Here is added that this is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning. All other thinking that follows after reverence of the Lord, for example, respect of His divine order in respect of male and female bodies, is wisdom. It is almost humorous how foolish so many have become in our society today. Not only do they approve and encourage homosexuality and lesbianism, but now they encourage girls to think they're little boys, boys to think that they're girls. This society is weird. It shows you how absurd you can get when you leave the wisdom of God. You just start leaving the wisdom. There's no end to the boundary of how absurd you can become. And that's where we are in our society. Principle, once you depart from God's design, order of things, there is no limit how foolish and absurd you will become. To depart from evil is understanding. You stay with, this is the way God designed it. This is what is in order with God's design. Stay away from it. And then you have an understanding. You understand the purpose of the woman's body. You understand the purpose and design of the male body. You understand these things if you stay away from evil. But if you go to evil, you don't understand God's design and creation. See? And Roman number 4. Fallen man does not know the value of wisdom. And as to state that man is in after the fall and imputation of Adam's original sin to our inherited sin nature, Job describes man's ignorance of wisdom. Job 28:12. But where can wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Man, flesh of man, does not know its value. Man does not know the value of wisdom from above or understanding. Nor is it found in the land of the living, in the human race. It's not found there. Verse 14, the deep says, it is not in me. Now, this requires a lot of understanding very quickly. The deep is a theological word where God cast all the fallen demons after the prehistoric revolution against God. And therefore, He threw them in the deep. The world became, Genesis 1-2, the world became tohu vabohu, darkness, void, emptiness. That isn't how God had created it. The next verses deal with 7 days of restoration. It became. Verse 1, He created it. And angels lived there. Satan rebelled. Guess who won the rebellion? God. Guess what He did with all of the fallen angels? He put them in the deep. Froze it over. So that's where the thing's frozen. Verse 2, the Holy Spirit starts moving over the earth that had become those things and starts changing and restoring and building the earth in the 7 days of restoration. Alright? So verse 14, the deep says, it's not in me. That's angels, fallen angels. And the sea says, it's not of me. Genesis 1:2. We have the deep and the sea is the place where God casts all the fallen demons. Now, verse 15. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighted as a price. We see this when man tries to buy the power of the gospel. Verse 16, cannot be valued in gold of or from the places where gold was, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass, and here we'd have to have an understanding of glass, cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Remember, Job was written before Abraham, before 2020, to 20,000 B.C., about 2,000 years after the earth was created. Now, verse 18, coral and crystal are not to be mentioned in exchange for it, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. So he's taken all these precious things that is, the earliest that, were very precious to man. And don't even think about putting them up for wisdom. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come? If it's not in the sea, it can't be found on man and creatures, and you can't buy it, where then can wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all living, and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and Death say, with our ears, we have heard a report of it. We do not have it. We do not know what it is. People, as we're going to see in this study of wisdom, we're not going to complete it all this morning because of communion, but as we're going to see, it demands the Holy Spirit. It demands the Word of God, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, to see and to understand wisdom, starting with the gospel, actually starting with the fall of man, the condition of man in his fall, why there is no works we can do. There are no works that we can do if you understand the fall of man. What happened when Adam's original sin was imputed to our inherited sin nature? What happened? Then you start thinking your way through the wisdom of God. Now, Roman 5, wisdom is free. I set this in. Grace through faith. Since it cannot be found anywhere on this planet or universe, and since all the wealth on earth cannot buy it, then where is it found? Let's start our answer with this. Wisdom of God is free. Like eternal life, it is free. Like the filling of the Holy Spirit, it is free. All are secured by grace through faith. Roman 6, all things were created by the wisdom of God. People, I cannot stress how important this point is, and I'll show you why. Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how many are your works, the countless works of his creation? In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Now, why is this important in our study? To deny creation is to deny the wisdom of God. Our scholars, teachers, teach our young people, no creation, evolution. They're teaching them to deny the wisdom of God. To condone perversions of male and female is to reject the wisdom of God. I know better than God. God, you're not so wise. We know that a man's body is designed for a man, and a woman's body is designed for a woman. We are wise. Therefore, Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. And dear people, this holds true in all categories of evil. Remember that evil is a rejection of divine order in the design of creation. So whether we're talking about spiritual issues like the gospel or moral issues or academic issues, or political issues, or any and all categories of decisions that you and I have to make throughout the day. God has a plan, a will, and design. And if you want to make wise decisions, you make decisions that are in line with His plan, His will, His design. He designed male and female. He designed father and mother. He designed family. He designed the nation. He designed these things for our good. See? But we have polluted. Now man is moving into the crescendo. They've taken away the moral issues. Now let's go to globalization. God, you're wrong on nationalism. The answer is globalization. That's wisdom. That's evil. That is opposed to God's design. Study the Word of God. Study the book of Deuteronomy. Study these things. So whenever we counter God's design in His creation, we are denying His wisdom. We're proclaiming, I know better than you. I'm wiser than you, God. This is why it is so important that we know and believe God created all these things, all the universes, and He created the world and designed the world. He designed everything in it according to an order, that if we are in line with that order, we're blessed. Oppose that order, you're involved in evil. Jeremiah 10:12. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom. And by His understanding, He has stretched out the heavens. This is why Satan must get man to believe in evolution. Without design, without creation, without God designing all these things. People, if you just... I'm amazed that a medical doctor who deals with the human body could believe in evolution and not see the unbelievable design by God in every aspect. One little thing can throw it all off. Yet, on the other hand, it can handle great adversity. It's just amazing. The design of our bodies. The design of gravity. The design of all the things in the world. And people, the more we understand the creation and what God has done in creation, the more we're in line with living in wisdom, living in what He is. We should be a fear. I don't want to live outside of your wisdom. I don't want to live outside of your wisdom morally, spiritually, politically, every way. I don't want to live outside of it. I want to be in the same harmony. I want to be in harmony with your creation. That's wisdom, being in harmony with the creation of God. We'll come to Roman numeral 7 next Sunday morning. Let's get ready for our communion now. It is our custom that we have communion once a month. There are people who believe in communion once a week. They're not right or wrong. We're not right or wrong. There is no absolute in the Word of God. Some believe you do it every time you meet. They're not right. They're not wrong. So we choose, I choose once a month, beginning of each month, kind of set the pace for the coming month. The month of November. A lot's going to happen in November. See? So we want to be sure we're right with God. How did we enter the plan? That's what the communion is. Communion is like, come back home. Come back to thinking. Come back to understanding who I am, who you are, and our relationship. And so I like to do it once a month. I don't want to do it so often. It becomes boring and you start taking it for granted. I want it once a month. Think about it. Think about what you're doing when you eat the bread. Think about what you're doing when you drink of the cup. Think about the cost of that bread and of that cup. And therefore, it gives an encouragement on how we're going to live the remainder of November. Each day of November. Tuesday of November. The 6th. Thanksgiving Day. All the days in between. See? This kind of sets us into a framework for that schedule, for that way. I think everyone here knows about the two elements, the bread, represents the body of Jesus Christ, give himself, sacrifice to us. The cup represents the Holy Spirit guiding us. Christ came to be our Savior. Holy Spirit came to guide us through life. There's wisdom, by the way. So this is what this communion service is. I every now and then like to remind you of Jeremiah, where we have what's going on here. When a friend of yours died, they had somebody die, maybe their husband, their wife, their parent, their child, and all day in the Jewish custom, they don't eat, they've got all the things they're doing, crying and everything, and then in the evening, they're tired and hungry. You go over with a bag. That's what Jeremiah says. You got a bag. And you take out of your bag one loaf of bread. Not two, one loaf of bread. They're sitting across from you. And you break that bread. They know what you're doing. You are sharing their hardship. And now you're giving them bread to give them the comfort. They've not eaten. The food comforts their body now. So you're giving them this comfort. Then you reach into your bag and you take out your jug. That's what the Hebrew says. And you take two glasses and you pour them some wine and you have some wine. Fermented. Wine, wine. You give them some wine. What is that about? The courage now to go on and live without that person that you had that was so close to you. That's what it is. And what did Christ do? He took the bread. I'm going to be sacrificing myself. He poured the wine. I'm leaving. But the Holy Spirit will come and guide you. Just as you followed me by faith, you follow him by faith. So this is a beautiful story of what happens at the communion service. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the sharing of the bread. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your plan, for your wisdom. We are overwhelmed by your wisdom. It's just mind-boggling, your wisdom, in every aspect, right down to this ritual. Giving us this ritual for us to do throughout the church age. And Father, we're so thankful that your Son offered himself bread from heaven that we might live. Pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread till everyone is served, and then we will take communion with him, taking communion with one another. So that's why we do it that way. Corinthians chapter 11, for I received from the Lord. Now, previously it just said, I give, but in giving this instruction. Then here he says, I received from the Lord that which I delivered, and he received it from Jesus Christ in the desert. In his humanity, Jesus Christ came to him and taught him for 3 years. He had a 3-year seminary course. Okay. I also delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, the bread represents his own death, and he gave thanks for his own death. He broke it, symbolic of what I just talked about, the bread, and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone has been served. We will take communion with him as we take it together. Stand. In the same manner, he, Jesus Christ, took the cup also after supper. The Passover is over. This is for the church. The bread for everyone. The cup is for the church. Saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, when we close here, invite everyone to stay and enjoy some fellowship, eat some of the food we have out there, and just enjoy some time with each other. And I took the privilege of briefly telling you about Harold Simonson, what he did in the Marine Corps. Next Sunday, if you have a like story of some vet, yourself or someone, your parents, somebody you know, please feel free and ready just to give a minute or two about that person, okay? That's next Sunday. If you want to. And that'll be a wonderful way for us to celebrate, start our celebration of Veterans Day here in this assembly. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the food of the Word. Pray that you'll take the things we've seen, let it be a nourishment to our spiritual life and a guide. We thank you for the food we're about to partake. Thank you for the fellowship we'll enjoy. And Father, we especially pray that in Galveston, the tent, some old motorcyclist will wander in, wondering about his life and his death. Be given the true gospel. And this very day, enter into eternal life. and even young cyclists who might go in, men or women. Father, we lay all of our prayer requests before you with thanksgiving that you're a God that we can pray to. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.